May turn into the book of John with me, please. John chapter 1. John. And I know by now you probably all can say this with your eyes closed. What is so amazing about... There we go. But probably next week will be the last one we'll do in this series. And I know some of you have been loving this series. But you know, the point is, whatever we preach on, we're preaching on grace. And we're hoping that as we grow and mature, that we're going to be not only listeners of grace, but purveyors of grace. That we will be gracious people in the whole thing. And of course, I know we've made this a focus point, and we will come back to it somewhere along the line. But we just feel there's a new exciting season and series that I want to start in a couple of weeks' time. So here we go. So, what is so amazing about grace? And I just thought today, bouncing off what we'd spoke about last night, blessed and highly favored. We are blessed and highly, not as an expression of religion or legalistic rot that comes out of our mouth. How are you, brother? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, that is nonsensical, religious, legalistic bunk. Now, I asked you, how are you doing? I'm doing great, thank you. I'm ill, or you know, let's just be real. That's the point I'm making here. But we also have to understand and know in our heart that because of His grace, we are blessed and highly favored. And when we get that into our spirit and into our spirit man and into our understanding, then we can live and function in a so better positive way than in a negative way. Last week we spoke about, I'm a beautiful thing. And someone this morning said, no, I'm not a thing, I'm a person. So we'll get over your insecurities, man. I am a beautiful thing. I am blessed, and I am a blessing. Oh, that's arrogant, Mark. No, come on. Who are you? A royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then we get all, I'm just so shy. Come on, you're a king's kid. So say, I am blessed, and I am a blessing. Now turn to somebody and say that, with the same kind of gusto. Come on, come on. Now you go all quiet on me, and you get all shy. I can see the way you're smiling, because you find it difficult to say, I'm blessed, and I'm blessing. Well, husband's thinking, or wife's thinking, not this morning, you weren't. We are blessed and highly favored because of the grace of God, because of His love to us. So I don't know, maybe I'm really comfortable with it. In South Africa, if you said to someone like Andrea, who's an exceptional musician, you say she's a good thing. Eh? It's a very colloquial thing, but it actually means a good thing for her. You know, you can be a good surfer. It's a good thing, eh? When it comes to surfing. So maybe that's why I take this thing so easy. I'm a good thing. I'm a great thing. Well, you're just arrogant. No, I'm not. I understand who my Father in heaven is and who I am and how we live together. Okay, I did say John, eh? John chapter 1, one verse. And from His fullness, verse 16, sorry. And from His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. In the NIV, it says, from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. And that's why I can be so cocky about it, because it's in the Scriptures. And what I pictured this, it was like, God sends these blessings upon our lives, and He sends them down upon your lives. And as you're sitting there, or as you're walking, or on the bus, or wherever you're at work, these blessings are coming at you, and it's like the 1st of July. You know, when the lights go up, then you don't even see it, but there's another one going up to explode. We don't even see it. It's like skeet shooting. As the first one's gone off, He's sending the next one down to us. If we could live in that and understand that, I'm receiving one blessing after another blessing. Grace upon grace is applied to me. And this morning, when we were in the prayer meeting in the beginning, twice the word came out, abundance. God's grace is in abundance. It's bountiful. It cannot hold us down and stop us. It's there to pick us up. And oh man, come on. Thank you, Ken. Wow. The next verse down after 16 says, for the law was given to Moses, through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And you, by now we should be able to quote that straight out of our heads. God pours His righteousness upon us, His blessing upon us, one after the other. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's what our worship was about this morning. His glory is abounding. It is boundless. We are going from one degree of glory to another. We are going from walking 3 inches off the floor to walking 6 inches off the floor. I know you don't believe me. But we are living in His glory. He's not into addition or subtraction. God is into multiplication. He's a huge mathematician. And He loves multiplication. It's not just adding and subtracting. But He is multiplying us. He is multiplying the blessing. That's why we can sing with firm assurance. His blessings are new every day. His grace is boundless to us. There we go. I'm getting some voices now. That's okay. When we grasp that concept, and then we will understand, in me He made a beautiful thing, Psalm 139 says. If it makes you feel better, say person. It's okay. His creation, He wants to bless us. But our finite little minds, doesn't matter how smart we are, when it comes to God, we are like finite, little, small. We can't think out the box. We have to allow His grace to be multiplied to me. One degree of glory so we can see the Father in His fullness. Ephesians 3:18. May we have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God hasn't, well, Alan, you were sort of okay this week, so I'm going to give you X amount of my love this week. If you get better next week, I'll add a little bit more love to you. And sometimes that's how we think. And so that's why we get the negative connotation. Remember I spoke about the impossibilities being possible? We always see impossible as, oh, negative, can't do it. It's impossible to do this and it's impossible to do that. It says with Christ, all things are possible. We just have to learn to believe it. Get up off our blessed assurance and go and do it. And it is from this fullness that we receive blessing after blessing. God has given us everything. Says we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Get that into your spirits and into your heart. I'm not just bumbling. You are not just bumbling around in society. I'm not too sure. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Like Chris's shirt this morning looks like a maze. You think you're running through this maze and you don't know where to go. I'm very linear, he tells me. You're amazing. That's why, Chris. Oh, very good. Yeah, bro. We mustn't allow our minds and our cynicism and our impossible thoughts to cloud our thinking and what God has called us to and who we are. We need to break down the barriers of cynicism and separation and unbelief. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. God is not into separation. God wants every barrier broken down. Everything that separates us from His love. Everything that holds us back. Every lofty, vain imagination we might have. And I'm telling you, as humans, we are so good at it. Of creating our own philosophy, our own thought pattern, the own idea. There is only one plumb line. It's this. God's Word. We can say what we want to say. We can believe what we want. You know, you've heard, oh, he's serious about that. Yeah, I know, he's seriously wrong. You can be seriously wrong. When you allow your lofty imagination and things that you will put in place, which are not God's Word. Every time you have a thought, lofty opinion, then you need to go and compare it to what does the Word say about that thing. And it doesn't measure up. Then I have a vain imagination, I have a lofty opinion, and I need to get back to the Word of God. God said. Well, let's go to His Word and see if God said. That's why we believe in a Genesis to Revelation, a full Bible theology. And sometimes we take one little verse or two words and we make a whole doctrine out of it, and then we find out that that stands against Scripture because it was more of a cultural explanation of something than anything else. As we grow deeper and deeper and more in love with Him, the more we get to know His character and His personality and how God thinks and feels. Although we know that His ways are higher and above our ways. God wants every barrier, every point of separation revealed and repaired. Where we have faulty thinking. As a young man, I had lots of faulty thinking. I probably still have some too. I'm not perfect. But I always want to go back to, well, what does God's Word say? God said, I feel this, this, and this. I'm not interested in your feelings. What's God's Word say? That sounds harsh, but it's not. I'm just trying to make a point. Every sector of the wall had to be repaired. Nehemiah. Every sector, shoulder to shoulder, trowel and sword in the hand, and they stood together and they repaired the wall. Why? So that they could keep the people in? No. It was to give the people liberty and freedom. It was actually to protect them and keep the enemy out. Well, you just want to build something here that's going to keep us in. No, that's stupidity at its best. Spent the last 2 weeks, how we go out there and appropriate the law to bring people to salvation. How far will God go to restore separation and reconciliation? Number one is the grace is reconciliation. How far? He sent His Son to die on a cross. We sang about His grace. I see the cross. Do you see the cross? Do we understand the price that was paid so that God could be reconciled to us, foolishly fallen through first Adam, now reconciled by last Adam, Jesus Christ? He came along and He became Emmanuel, God with us. Father God, and I know this is a hard concept for us to get, Father God died for our sins. No, but Jesus did that. Well, I and the Father, and the Father and me, da 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 da. That's why we have to know the Word. If we don't read the Word, and I know there's a lot of words to know here. And that's why we have these reading plans over a year or over 2 years. Read through the Bible. Get the sense of what's going on in the Bible. Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He He's a possessive Father over us. He loves us so much. He wants us to be reconciled, and the grace of reconciliation upon us through His Son Jesus. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, not me, him, whom I formed and made. I try and think about in the garden when he looked around and saw everything and thought, well, I need this little guy out of the dust. And so he took some clay in his hand and formed and fashioned them and said, you know, oh, nose too long. Let's give him a pug nose. Nose ears sticking out too much. Let's flatten him a little bit. Little flat white feet underneath, you know, little pink underneath there. I think he must have had fun. I then took him in. Who am I? You're Adam. Okay. Who are you? I'm your father. Fashion and formed him. And then he goes on to Isaiah 43. Go and read Isaiah 43. It's a really good chapter. I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. It struck me, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, says God. Not for your sake, not for my sake, for his sake. I remember your sins no more. That's why it's for his sake, so he doesn't remember every time we come along. And we go, hi God. He goes, Bruce. How are you, Bruce? I'm good, God. I see you have a clean record. Yeah. Oh, not really. No, but you do, because I don't remember your sins. As far as they are from the east and the west, it says. Is anything too hard for God? Yeah. He can't remember our sins. Doesn't that make us feel free? Because I know some of you are thinking what you did on Friday afternoon or Saturday, or how you spoke to one another, or what you did. So, can I just be, I hate that IKEA advert. Start the car. You all know what I'm talking about. You know why I hate that? It teaches people to be dishonest. Because she thinks that she's got a lower thing on her bill. But they were having a rollback or whatever. So she thinks she should have paid more for the item. And so now she's saying, start the car, let's get out of here. We've cheated them, we've crooked them, they've made a mistake. It's a terrible advert. Maybe some of you never saw it that way before, but there you go. He blots out the sins for our sin separates us from God. And he says, I'm the one, I've redeemed you, I've called you by my name, you're mine, you belong to me, and I don't remember what you sinned about yesterday. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that grace in reconciliation? He is pouring out blessing upon us, blessing upon us, blessing upon us. We get into the guilt thing, which we dealt with in this series. We get into the, what did I do? And he's saying, I'm not sure. Wow. That's what's so amazing about grace. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't hang around thinking, well, one day they might get it right, and then I'm going to say, okay, your sins are forgiven. While we were at enmity with God, while we were blaspheming his name, while we were in sin and doing all the things we shouldn't be doing and being enemies of the cross, he says, I'm going to send my son to die for you because I want to be reconciled to you. That's grace and reconciliation. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Number two, It's grace and power. He has given us all authority and all power on earth. And it's His grace that He's done it for us. When we stand with His grace, when we individually grasp this, can you imagine when we get together and we pool our sources, the synergy of our faith and our love for one another and the grace of God upon our lives, when we come and we worship Him and we set forth a roar of our worship, the hordes of hell are going, no way, there goes HCC, the bridge, there goes the bridge again, worshiping God, speaking about Jesus, talking about grace. What is wrong with those people? They frustrate us. What are we going to do? We're going to send some pestilence amongst them. We're going to destroy them. Because that's our job description. I know I've said it before, but are you cognitive of that's what the enemy's job description is? To seek and to destroy. Who likes to be loved here? Come on, put up your hands. Who likes to be liked? He does not like you. He does not like you. He does not love you. In actual fact, He hates you. We have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Acts 4:33, and great grace was upon them all. And it goes on to say, because there were none of them amongst them that were needy. That means there's grace upon our lives as a family here together. Not a blood family, a spiritual family. Under the blood family. When grace comes upon the church, there will be no need, no physical illness, no spiritual craziness, no financial ruin. Grace will rule, and we will be aware, and we won't make silly mistakes, and we won't be at odds with each other. Now, grace and power comes. I'm telling you this morning, whether you got it or not, there was grace in God's power here this morning. There was God's presence in a unique way here this morning. I know sometimes we want to go, worship, let's go. And the Holy Spirit came this morning and just said, And we said, yes, sir. Just go that way. Tuned in to the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do for us. Number three, grace and revelation. Jesus' intention that the church will be built on the revelation of who He is. And that's why when we get to the book of Revelation, and I know I used to say it when I got here and I was berated for it. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. There's only one revelation, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, what about this one? Well, no, it's the revelation of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Grace and revelation, Matthew 16:15. The great question. Who do you, or who do they say that I am? Well, they say this, 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 and this. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that was not on Peter, that it was on the revelation, the rock of the revelation, that Jesus Christ was the head of the church, that it was upon Jesus that the church would be built, not on Peter. Some get that wrong. We need a revelation from the Word when the Word is opened and spoken to us. But I want to tell you something. As much as, you know, my job is, you're the pastors, Chris, me, Michael, and Kevin. You know what our job is? Our job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. That's what we're called to do. That's it. Your job is to go and do the work of the ministry. And whilst we might stand up here and expound and exegete and bring revelation and truth and challenge and aha moments, there's nothing better than when you get the revelation yourself. I think I've told you the story. A friend of mine used to pray every morning with him at 6 o'clock in the morning. He used to pray with him and a couple of guys. And I would, every 6 months, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything be added unto you, da 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 da. I'd open with that prayer. And I'd say, guys, man, come on. 6 months later, the one guy comes to the meeting. He says, Mark, you will not believe what I've read in the Bible yesterday. I said, what did you read? He says in Matthew, it says that if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, all things will be added unto us. Yeah, I could have gone, ah, yeah, all right. Dude, where have you been for the last 6 months? I said, dude, that's amazing. That is wonderful. And you know what? He never forgot that lesson. And obviously you can see, I never forgot it either. It was about 10 or 12 years ago. I was astounded and amazed. And so as much as we can exit, you need to be in the Word and seek the Word and get a revelation of the Scripture and the Word and the love of God and how He functions and the grace of God. Because alternatively, this is where preachers get nervous about what they say next. Alternatively, you're living on my revelation only. That's not helpful for you. I just want to be honest. It's not helpful for me to be living on your revelation or Chris's or Michael's or, but it all adds to the pot and helps us. Okay. Last one. Revelation unlocks grace. More grace, more blessing, more anointing, one degree of glory to another. Let's just quickly follow Peter. Matthew 16. Upon this revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church, Peter. Well done. This was not revealed to you by flesh or blood, but this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. You know that picture I told you in the beginning about the blessings? We're just receiving the one and the next one's already on its way. It's like there's a big chute and God sending them down for us. Well, then we see what happened to Peter in John 21. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love my sheep? Feed them, look after them. More anointing, more grace upon his life, more revelation. Peter in Acts 5, grace multiplied to him that even his shadow cast would heal the sick. Grace multiplied and added to him. Peter, Acts 10, dreams of this revelation. You know, the four sheet coming down and going up three times, has a deeper revelation, changes his ministry for a moment of time. He takes now the gospel to the Gentiles. When we understand, we have revelation, we see it through grace, we understand how we understand the law that we spoke about over the last 2 weeks, we put grace into action. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. Why? You know, there was a thing going around. You don't box me on this. You can either believe me or not. You can have an opinion. There was this thing called friendship evangelism. And it's still very strong in many places. We must have friendship evangelism. Friendship evangelism is not from this church. What do you mean? Because friendship evangelism, at its core value, is subterfuge. Because Chris doesn't know Jesus, so I'm going to be friends with him until I win him to the Jesus, and then I can cut a notch in my belt and say, oh, he's now, I got friendly with him and he's come to Jesus. No, we've got to love people irrespective. Become friends with your workmates, with your colleagues and everything. Not because, okay, I'm going to get a notch in my belt for this one. That's because you just, Jesus loved people. That's why he hung out with the sinners. That's why he didn't care to go and hobnob with the Pharisees. He wanted to hang out with the sinners. He just wanted to be there with them and see how they... And they called him the friend of sinners. And then we have this program now that we have to do, friendship evangelism. The core thought and value behind that is terrible, evil, in my opinion. Anyway. Okay. Very quiet here. It's not the tool of the church, it's the tool of the enemy to keep us confused about things. I'll become friends with Dom because Dom doesn't know Jesus and he doesn't treat his wife well. So I'm going to become friends with Dom. And when I've won him to Jesus, because it's all about me, then their family will be okay. How about I just become friends with Dom because I like the guy? Because he's got some values that I like. How about if we treated sinners like they were already saved? And we were just their friends. And somewhere along the line, ding, little light, Chris is different to the other guy. I wonder what's about him. Grace in action. I'll tell you a story about a friend of ours in South Africa. Her name is Louise Smith. This is a true story. This is not made up. Just so you know, we don't have to sign a waiver. She came from an exceptionally wealthy family, came into the kingdom, and she had so many diamond rings and rubies and emeralds and pearls and stuff. She couldn't wear it all in one day, and so she used to just swap out every now and then. And some stuff was just, I'm talking about serious value here. She was a runner-up Miss South Africa one year. Her family owned wine farms. Need I say more? Anyway, the point I'm getting to is that so one day they just finished building their house and they went out for dinner. They built this amazing mansion. And they went out one day and they came home and they had a call that there's like 12 people running around your yard. They've called the cops and the cops are coming. Anyway, they got there to find this was somehow an inside job. They'd got into the house, got into the home. You have to understand this is not rock sheet. This is brick, mortar and thing. They'd got the safe out of the wall, under their arm, and we're gone. So they went to the insurance and did the whole deal. But Louise has a heart for the prisoners. So this woman from this side of the sphere in life goes down to the prisons once a week and ministers to the woman in the woman's prison. And one day this woman comes along with an American accent. He's in the prison, and so they just start talking. She's obviously not saved. That's why she's in jail. And she starts talking to Louise, and she got caught for credit card fraud. And then she tells Louise the story. And Louise realizes, oh, that's my credit card. And then she says, well, what, you know, then the story goes on. And she says, yeah, no, she says, I was the head of a ring of thieves in Westville, where Louise lived. So we broke into her home and we got all these great diamonds out of the safe. And Louise said, that's interesting. So she says, what did they look like? So she describes them and she describes her jewelry to her. Do you know she ministered to that woman for 5 years, got her saved, never once told her that I was the victim of your robbery. Now for me, I would want to jump up and grab her by a part of her body and squeeze. Because she never got back. A lot of them were sentimental value from her great-grandmother and her mother and her grandmother. And you know, you all know that that's not replaceable. I don't care how much they pay you out. It's not replaceable. That is grace in action. That is grace in power. That is grace in reconciliation. That is grace in revelation. She didn't have to go and say, "Whoosh, I'm going to pray for you now." Fivefold ministry. She just continued to minister to her and pray for her and share the love of God with her for an hour or so every week. Having said all that, and just in closing, there's three things we need to keep our eyes totally fixed on if I can get this thing to work. Have we lost power here? Huh? Yeah, I know, but... Oh, okay. Anyway, last three said, number one, we need to remember and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God is love, 1 John 4:16. Not that God is about love, not that God has love, but God is love. I'm going to try it again. I don't know what's happening there, Peter. Second one, God is light. 1 John 1:5. His glorious magnificence, His glorious grace that takes us out of darkness into light, opens our eyes that we can see, opens our eyes that we are aware, that we can take revelation in, that there is no shadow of turning with Him. That is just this brilliance, if you can just imagine this brilliance of light, and you're standing in it, basking in it. Last, God is Spirit, John 4:24. We communicate spirit to spirit, not through flesh and blood, not through our minds and our intellect and how smart we are and how we've sorted God out, not how we have our lofty opinion about God, not through our reason or our logic, but the humility that brings abundance of His love and His light and His Spirit into us, that we have the righteousness of God within us, that we can now, maybe after I've said all this, that you can go and say, I am a beautiful thing, I am blessed and I am a blessing. How can I bless you today? Can I get you a cup of coffee? Don't all shout at once. We are blessed and highly favored by our Father. His grace is unlimited, boundless grace in our lives. Back to that picture again, if you're just with me. God is standing in heaven. He's got a funnel for each one of us. This is not just like shotgun. This is sniper stuff. And it's honed in on each one of you. And as He's pushing down these tubes of blessing, this is just a figment of my imagination, that He's pushing down these blessings, and as the first one hits you, you go, oh, I'm blessed by God. Boom, the next one hits you. You know, sometimes I walk into this building and I stand and I go, God, You're so good. What a blessing this is for us. What a home to have. Now, we don't have to come and set up chairs and set up the musician. I've done that for many years, and I'm sure some of you have done all that stuff. But just in even what seems the simplest things. I'm blessed to have an amazing wife. She's too good for me, I know. How she looks after me and how she tends to me. I have an amazing daughter. He's driving me mental at the moment about getting a puppy. She did this once before and then left for the UK. So I'm making it very clear that when she leaves, she's going to take the puppy with her. And of course, Bridget's... Think about your blessings. Think about God's grace upon your lives. Think about His grace in reconciling us to the Father. Jesus came and He brought grace and truth into our lives. Grace in power, in the power that He's given us, not for us, so that we can go and give it away. Grace in power when we come corporately together. Grace in when the Word is revealed to us. We go and we've read the same thing 100 times, and it was just black letters on white paper, and then all of a sudden we go, bow! Wow! What is so amazing about grace? I know what's so amazing. When we get that, it unlocks deeper grace, like Peter, from grace and glory. One blessing upon another, from one degree of glory to another. And all we got to do is, like, not tiptoe through the tulips, but we just got to walk into His pleasure, into His presence. And when it comes, and like we felt it this morning, I want to encourage you, dive right in. Don't. Those people are a little weird. I don't know what's going on there. Why are they doing that? Say, Lord, how deep's the river? Where can I jump in where it's deep? Let me jump into this deep river. Be like David who danced 21 miles, I believe it is. Not in your underwear like he did, but just danced. Throw abandon to the wind. Don't worry about, I wonder what the wife will say when I go home today. I'm telling you, husbands, your wife doesn't need you to be the man, the head of the house, the boss. Your family needs you to be the champion. Be their champions. And I speak to myself too. We know all about this stuff. Just hear my heart in this. We don't need more heroes. We need champions. Allow God's grace to flow to you. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for what is so amazing about grace. Thank you for your grace, Lord God. Thank you for the blessing upon blessing that you have for us. Thank you, Lord God, that unashamedly we can declare, I am blessed. Not because of my smarts or my intellect or anything else, but because of your goodness to me. Not what I've done, but what Jesus has done for me and in me. Thank you, Lord God, that I've been called to reconcile and be a blessing to others. Not because of my wants and my needs, but because of other people. On the other side of your obedience is someone's blessing waiting to happen. Blessed be you, Lord God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was wretched, now I'm blessed and highly favored. Blessed be you, Lord God. I have a revelation. I now can see. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.